prepare yourselves for the brain-stretching conclusion to this Bible-centric message. TheSpeakingDeacon.com. Truth is here.
These two guys, of course, Aristotle and Plato kind of agree with this. I have them up here because they all agree that the first cause has to be a self-cause. That it isn't just a confident, infinite cause and effect, cause and effect, cause and effect, cause and effect. It doesn't go that way. There is a beginning to the chain, and it is a self-cause, first cause, is the easiest way to say it. But if anything exists, then there must be some self-existent eternal being. All right, and these two big words here is ontological and cosmological. Ontological means if you can think of an infinite God, there must be an infinite God, if you can conceive it. And cosmological meaning physically there is. There is physically in existence a being that must be self-existent. In order for God to be God, his existence is within him. He is a self-existent being. It is by necessity, God cannot be supreme, cannot not be. Let me try that again. By necessity, God cannot not be. Does that make sense? It is impossible for there not to be a God. It's impossible. Rationally and existently, it's impossible for there not to be a God. Got it? It's impossible. Because if there wasn't a self-existent being, a self-existent eternal being, we wouldn't exist. We're kind of the evidence of a self-existent being. That's taking it backwards. However which way you want to look at it, that's the math. Does that make sense? How are we doing here, folks? No. No, this is what the Christians should believe. The atheists believe out of nothing comes everything, which has no anything to support it anywhere ever. And Christians really can rest on this. God has to exist. By necessity, God cannot not be. God is the ultimate being. Like, we're human beings. We exist, but we rely on things to exist. We rely on food. We rely on breathing. We rely on our TVs. We rely on this. Just seeing if you're still awake. All right. You know, we need to other things to feed us, to keep us existence. God is a self-existent being. He needs nothing to exist. He just is. Matter of fact, there's some scripture verses we're going to talk. We'll show you that. So there is a self-existent, infinite being that, boop, got the ball rolling. Yes, there is a beginning to it. God got the domino effect going. He created the universe. He put the food chain in place. He put the solar system in place. He put the universe in place. He even told us how he did it. If he can create the universe, he can preserve his word so that us in 2011 can hear it. That's not a large jump. It really isn't for us to consider. How we do it? By necessity, God cannot not be. Creation demands a creator. Design demands a designer. Our existence demands a self-existent being. Does the Bible back that up by any chance? What does the Bible have to say about being rational and thinking? Okay, we got Revelations. Three times in Revelations 1:8. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. That isn't just a name. It's not the Almighty. Right? It's not the Almighty. It is the Almighty. Trying to encompass all. That is a big universal Almighty. Who's bigger than God? Almighty! All right, that's not just his nickname. And he is, he was, and he is to come. There's your his eternality. He's always, always, always. Revelations 26. Jesus said to John, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That's Jesus. And, of course, Revelation 22:13, he says it again, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Do you think he's trying to encompass a lot in those statements? Just a little bit? The beginning and the end, the all-encompassing super God. That's exactly what he is. Now, here's a cool one. I love to compare these two. Just in case you have someone who struggles with Jesus being deity, which would be the Mormons and the Jehovah's and probably half the people you know who don't read their Bibles or care what Jesus says, let's take a look at a few things. Exodus 3:14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. What an interesting name. I am. That's it. There it is. I am has sent me. What? That's improper English, isn't it? That's his title. He's describing his self-existent, all-time, everything, all-super-purpose God. There is nothing else. There is God. And he is the present, past, and future. He's everywhere. He's infinite. You got it? So he kind of encompasses it all by just saying, tell them, I am sent me, sent you to me. John 8:58. Jesus says, when he's wrestling with the Jews, I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. And at that time, the Jews took up stones ready to kill him, because they thought for sure he was blaspheming. Jesus claimed that name. When Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am, he was talking about Exodus 3:14. He claimed the name of God. You cannot call somebody a good teacher who claimed to be the Almighty God unless he's telling you the truth. He's either, at this point, he's either whacked or he's telling you the truth. Those are your only two options, and that's the only two options every person is going to have to decide about Jesus. All right? But not only is he claiming deity and being God, he's also claiming a very particular characteristic of God. Being God. All time, all purpose, self-existent, being God. Jesus is claiming that. That's a big title to claim. The Gospel of John, that pesky Gospel of John. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So John seemed to think Jesus was claiming to be God because that's the first sentence of his gospel, of his testimony. He was with God in the beginning. Notice it's interesting. He is distinguishing. He is God and he was with God. And that's part of the mystery of the Trinity, that there are three persons, one God. Three persons, one God. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Now stop right there. Now we're talking back to existence. Where did the universe come from? In the beginning, God. And then John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And through him all things were made. Do you get the connection? Not only did God make all things, and he clearly told us that, and then he clearly told us how he did it, but rational science, rational philosophy, and any other science out there all shouts this to be true too. It all points to God. The reason an atheist or an evolutionist or a philosopher will run from this is simply because they hate God. Romans chapter 3. Romans 3, people hate God, so they'll reject it even if it makes sense. That doesn't make sense, but that's what they do. And that's really, Pawpaw Bible Church people, that's what we're up against. That's what the big smartiest pants is in the world. That's what they got against us, is they just simply hate God. So they're looking for colorful excuses. So in him was the life, and that life was the light of men. I want to point out this out to you. This is, and then we'll be done and ready for communion. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. If you were to read most history books or go to Wikipedia and start to read on the arguments of philosophy and stuff, and they show you, they say terms like the development of thought, the philosophy, and it developed from here to here to here, and there's a building of thinking going on, and it almost seems to be so strong and powerful against God, right? But I want to point this out to you. If John 1:5 is true, but the darkness has not understood the light, that is exactly the evidence you would see in the lost world. All these smarty pants people bouncing into God, renaming his attributes, and trying hard to just get away from him because they don't understand it. That's the exact evidence you would see in human history if John 1:5 were true. Or Romans chapter 3. The evidence is there. That's exactly the evidence you would find. So from a Christian perspective, I hope that made sense. So end with this. God started it all for his purpose, to glorify him. And we all know why, so that man might enjoy God forever. That's our design. That's what the Bible says. We're here to serve and glorify God. I hope this helped you a little bit.
From Bibles, websites, to theology, apps, to blogs, there are so many fantastic resources for Christians. Get the latest news and reviews on what is out there to help you grow in Christ. TheSpeakingDeacon.com. Truth is here.